It's Spotlight on KRWC, a Friday morning edition, and we have with us today District 877 Superintendent Dr. Scott Thielman. Kind of rescheduled. We were on spring break last week when we normally talk the first Tuesday of the month, so happy to have Scott with us this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Great to be here. Thanks, Tim.
Looking a little bit more like springtime today, finally.
Yeah, it really is a beautiful day.
Been kind of a weird month. We had 80s on Easter, and then snow and rain,
right,
and all kinds of
right.
other stuff.
Yeah, during the spring break
right.
for our students. So yeah,
good.
It's nice to see the sun shining.
We've got some things to catch up on here from the newsletter, The Insider, and several other things, so I'll let you go ahead and call out the agenda here this morning.
Sure. I want to begin by welcoming Ryan Tangen. He is going to be replacing Gary Kaluski, our longtime director of finance and operations. Gary and I joined the district at the same time in 2010, and Gary was actually hired before I was. And we just really appreciate his service to the school district, and he'll end his career with the Buffalo Hanover Montrose School District on June 30th. He will be retiring, and he's had a long service as a director of finance and operations throughout his career, going back to very small districts and then in larger districts with Buffalo Hanover Montrose School District. We are going to be joined in his replacement, and it has been named Ryan Tangen, who is currently the director of finance and operations, or in some districts they call them business managers, in the Detroit Lake School District. Ryan joins us and has a unique background. He started his career as an auditor of school districts and governmental agencies up in the Fergus Falls, Detroit Lakes area, and then actually was the auditor Becker County, I believe, up in the Detroit Lakes area. He was that position, and then they combined the positions to auditor treasurer, as we see in a lot of different districts. Counties, where that happens. And just a unique background with him and being able to provide that insight from a county level and then take those experiences from the county level and apply it to the school district. We're very, very fortunate to have him join us, I believe. His unique experience will also allow us to have additional connection with the county, I think, because he can speak the language, if we want to say that. And we're just very, very pleased that he'll be joining us, and hit the ground running. He's already been here to meet with our current director of finance and operation, and we're just really looking forward to his contributions. It is really fortunate for the school district, because there's not a lot of movement with the finance and operations directors, especially during the pandemic, because of all the moving parts. I think there's a sense of really wanting to make sure that a school district is in a great place, and being able to navigate all of the intricacies of what's happening at a federal level and a state level. So we are very fortunate to have him come in. His background is he's a CPA, certified public accountant, as well as he's been certified as a school business financial officer. We're excited that he will be joining us. The finance and operations department is primarily, obviously, oversees all of the finances of a school district, puts together the budget on an annual basis, and works with enrollment projections. And you've heard me talk about, and our community has heard me talk about, all of the processes that go into place to finalize a school district budget. So that is their main focus. But also in this district, he oversees staff who are in charge of buildings and grounds. So our director of buildings and grounds report directly to the finance and operations director. And so Ryan will be working with Mr. Heltonen. John Heltonen is our director of buildings and grounds. And as you know, there are a lot of projects. We had a bond projects that has wrapped up, but then there's ongoing needs. And working with Mr. Heltonen in that capacity. And then he directly oversees food and nutrition services. And Kim Heinrichs is our director of food and nutrition services, and all of the pieces that go along with that. So in addition to that, we have a contractor that provides transportation for the school district. So he works with Vision Transportation, negotiates those contracts. So Ryan will be coming in, hitting the ground running. We're very fortunate and pleased to have Ryan joining the Buffalo Hanover Montrose School District team. He is very, very well respected in the district, in the community, in Detroit Lakes. I know that he is looking for those roles, coming in and wanting to join civic organizations, wanting to set deep roots in the Buffalo Hanover Montrose community. So We're really looking forward to his contributions going forward.
Well, as we've talked many, many times on this program, you know, that particular position and just the overall complexity of district finances and et cetera has, you know, only gotten more and more complex, not only with our district, but every district over the years. And so it's good to have somebody that's kind of seen both sides of it.
Exactly, and as I was saying earlier, he was the treasurer first for Becker County in Detroit Lakes, and then combined the treasurer position with the auditor position, like it is here in Wright County. But just a great resource and background to be able to touch base with the county officials and commissioners and the county auditor treasurer. As we move forward, we were fortunate in Wright County to have contributions from Wright County in the federal government stimulus dollars in the first round. And it looks like the second round of federal dollars, the county is trying to work with school districts also, and particularly for internet services. It's really hit or miss in our county in the rural areas. The cities have a good infrastructure, but once you get out of the city limits, very limited internet and internet access. And as you know, during this pandemic, that was an area of concern for our students and families, as we had to go with a distance learning model at different times throughout the 2020-2021 school year. So I think that'll benefit our students and our community, having Ryan's experience and being able to work with the county as we move forward.
Kind of just taking a soft exit there onto the COVID situation. Now, I think when we last talked, we were just getting back into, or had just gotten back into all students present, if, you know, those that elect to go back to the classroom maybe want to just update us on how that's going and what's happening there.
Right. So it, beginning on March 1st, we were able to have all students return in person. And we were excited about that because we hadn't had the opportunity for students to come in person at the secondary level. It was in person, but every other day. And so we were very excited about that opportunity, and that has worked out really well as we've moved forward. And we're still in the in that model right now, currently. So we have all students present every day, Monday through Friday. We have had to make a modification at the middle school level, in that those teachers are teaching students who are have opted out or opted for the distance learning model. So their students are still attending along with all the students who are in person, and those teachers then are eligible for additional planning period of 30 minutes of planning. We couldn't do that any other way than to release our middle school students earlier. So there's a two-hour release on Fridays for to achieve that 30-minute daily planning period. Other than that, all of the other buildings, they have students every day, face-to-face, and Monday through Friday. So we're very, very excited about having everybody in person as much as possible. And you know, that's currently what we have. We go day-to-day because in Wright County, we continue to see our community spread, our community rate increase. We've gone from a low of 19 cases per 10,000 people to a case rate of 66 cases per 10,000. So, you know, that's increased threefold, three times as many cases per 10,000 just in a 5-week period. And we know that that continues to spread. So we are fortunate to have had our staff vaccinated, and the second round of the vaccines for our staff, for the majority of our staff, over 300 of them, was on March 30th and April 1st. So currently, we have a large majority of our staff with the vaccine and being vaccinated. And that helps us in that once we're outside the 2-week window of the second vaccine, our staff will not, those who have had the vaccine, will not have to quarantine. And that's a big deal for us, because if a student has been diagnosed as a positive case with COVID, at the elementary, the whole class has to quarantine. Well, now in this case, the teacher would not have to quarantine, and then could still have all the resources here at school provide those services for the students who are in having to quarantine and distance learn. In that distance learning model for that that 10-day period. There's an opportunity for staff and students to quarantine at a shorter level than the 14-day. Currently, that's the guidance from the CDC and the Minnesota Department of Health, that when there's a close exposure or exposure within 6 feet at a secondary level, we have to go through and contact trace any student who is positive, and then determine who was closer than 6 feet for more than 15 minutes. they will have to quarantine also, and that's the current guidance. So as we go through all those procedures and protocols, we have been able to shorten the quarantine period to 10 days because that's an option for school districts. And we choose that 10-day quarantine period because the students do not have to have a test. It could be shortened even further to 7 days, but then students have to show us the results of the COVID test to make sure that it was negative. And there's certain restrictions. It has to be after 5 days. And so getting those results and having access to the testing is sometimes cumbersome, and it has to be a specific test. It can't be the a general antibody test. So it has to be a specific type of test, a PCR test. So we have opted for the 10-day quarantine period in that case. And so we still, you know, we're navigating. We're hoping that I saw a graph the other day that shows the precipitous rise in COVID cases throughout the state and then for school districts. And then at the same time, it shows the COVID rate for staff. And in the fall, in October and the beginning of November, all the way through up through Thanksgiving, both lines were rising at the same rate. So staff and student infections were coming up at the same rate. Now it's just the student rate coming up, and the staff rate is remaining pretty constant and steady at a lower level. So that helps us with the operations because, quite frankly, last fall, when we saw these rates increase like this, like we're seeing right now, we had to close or change learning models because we didn't have enough substitutes to cover the classrooms for our teachers. So a lot of moving parts continue in this process.
Well, at the risk of asking the question that you probably field a lot of times already, I'll ask it anyway. Any thoughts on graduation yet or any of the other spring happenings? I suppose it's maybe a little too early yet.
Well, Mr. Mischke is working, the high school staff are working through that. Yes, we are allowed to have a graduation. We're still seeking clarification on what that might look like because we could have it outdoors. And then you have to, anything over 500, then you take 25% capacity of that facility. And we're still trying to figure out what that might look like because if you just took the stands where we have seating capacity of 2,000 on the home side and 750 on the visitor side, then, you know, you would just take 25% of that, and I think it's 650-something. And, you know, then that limits the capacity. Now, the students wouldn't count in that because they're part of the program. So we're allowed to count them as part of the program, so they don't count toward the capacity of the facility. But if you just took a straight number of 25%, you know, then you're only looking at 687 people. You know, that becomes problematic because if you have a class of 450 students, you know, everybody has their parents, you need at least 900, the ability to have 900 visitors if you want to do it in one ceremony. So Mr. Mischke and the staff are looking at having two ceremonies, and we're still seeking clarification. Can we put visitors out on the field also? If there's inclement weather, then, you know, that changes things because then you have to move back inside, and then you have to take the capacity of of the gymnasium where we hold our graduation ceremonies. We do have overflow seating in the auditorium every year, and we could look at that, plus maybe even the cafeteria and setting up monitors. It's going to be a wild process as we're going through that whole.
A lot of navigation to come yet, not only for our district, but for everybody else, too.
Yeah, for all districts. Yeah, exactly.
Got a few minutes left here. Any other highlights here that we want to talk about? I know you said you got a pork chop last night.
I did, yes. So typically we speak in the first Tuesday of the month, and we would have been able to put a plug in for a lot of different things that were going on. We had the endowment, 877-8-Endowment pork chop dinner. It's an annual dinner that raises money for student scholarships. And so that took place last night. Last year it was canceled because of the pandemic. And so this year they were able to pull it off. It was all pre-sold, or you could purchase tickets online in advance. So they had the capacity for 700 pork chops. And if you chose a meal with two pork chops, you know, that went towards their count. So they were able to control that for quantity. And to my knowledge, they sold out and had a great event. And I was able to, I and my family were able to enjoy that also. I hope many in the community. I know that I usually work that, and I look forward to the opportunity to speak to our community members as they sit in the cafeteria. This year it was curbside only. So we're just really appreciative of the volunteers who help with the 877 Foundation. And I saw a lot of our board members out there last night directing traffic and helping people get their tickets to claim their meals. But everything that I've heard this morning was a great success.
And then also this week, we're just wrapping up Week of the Young Child here, too.
We are, yeah. And our youngest learners are celebrated this week. And we typically have a family fair, an early childhood family education family fair. And that's always been held here at Discovery Elementary. We're not going to be able to do that this year because of the restrictions. And so that has been postponed and will be rescheduled for September. But the Week of the Young Child has celebrated activities to do with babies and toddlers and preschools. Preschoolers are posted on have been posted all week on the district's Facebook page and on our website. So we're excited to celebrate them. And then next week is National Volunteer Recognition Week. This year we've really not been able to have volunteers because of the restrictions and limiting visitors to school districts, but we count on our community, our parents, to come in and read to our students, to volunteer in our schools, and we're really hopeful that that will be available to us, that resource we really count on, in the fall. And so we're really excited about that. And then just one other plug, April 22nd through the 25th, the music and theater departments at the high school, Buffalo High School, are presenting A Tapestry of Hope. It's a production of show tunes, poems, readings, and they will be putting this production together, and we're hoping that it'll be able to be performed. And right now, we're still going through the decisions if we can have that, how that can be done in person with limited visitors. We were able to have concerts this year, And staff were very creative in meeting the criteria of limiting capacity. And so they basically had one group come in and then have to leave, and the next group come in and then leave. Normally, if it's a choir concert, a band concert, you stay for the whole production, and you can see all the different levels performing up to through our concert choirs and bands and orchestras. This year we had, and we were fortunate to have parents be able to be part of that. They went in and were able to see their child perform, and then that next group had to leave and then come back in. Just a lot of creativity as we went through this. I want to put one more plug in for kindergarten registration. If you haven't had your opportunity to enroll your child in kindergarten, we still want to put that plug out there. The information's on our website at www.bhmschools.org. Any child who is five or will be five before September 1st is eligible for kindergarten, and we encourage everybody to do that. Don't wait, and help us as we plan for next fall.
Well, the thinking outside the box continues, and boy, what a lesson we've learned how to do things differently, huh?
It is interesting. I've likened it to navigating a freight liner in the ocean. You know, it takes you 2-3 miles to turn around that freight liner and go 180 degrees. And since last March, March of 2020, we've been operating like we're in a speedboat where we turn on a dime.
Wow.
And so we'll continue to do that and make the best decisions possible at the with the information we're given. And we've had a great experience. I know my son is a senior this year. He's had about as a good experience as you can in these dramatic times of the pandemic.
District 877 Superintendent Dr. Scott Thielman, our guest on today's Spotlight, and we'll get back to the normal time here, so we'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
Yes, I look forward to it.
Okay.
Thanks again.
Thanks, Scott. Yep.
Okay.
That's our Spotlight for you for today on KRWC.